In the Catholic school of my youth, we learned about Jesus' love for us the old-fashioned way, with weeping and gnashing of teeth. Every year, on Good Friday, the day we remembered Jesus' torturous crucifixion, the lesson we were taught was that Jesus had to go through this terrible ordeal and die because of our sins. Not just vague, impersonal, out there sins of people you didn't know, the sins of you and me, all of you and me. I learned we were all to blame for Jesus' death. It was not the Roman centurion or the Pharisees nailing Jesus to the cross, but me. In order to drive that point home, every Good Friday at our school mass, there would be a styrofoam cross at the front of the room where we were gathered. Each of us students was given a pin. One by one, we all had to step forward and push our pin. There's a little ribbon at the end of it. Push that pin, which represented a nail, into the styrofoam cross, a symbol that it is our own individual sins that nailed Jesus to that cross. You put those crosses, those nails into his hands. And one by one, we would come up with our pins, piercing the styrofoam. You could feel it break as if we were piercing the flesh of Jesus himself. And I hated it. I hated it. I hated being made to do something so violent and horrible. I loved Jesus. I still do. Most of the time. And all the time. However imperfectly as it is. But I loved Jesus even as a child, and I would never do something so terrible to Jesus. And I felt just trapped by my own sinfulness, as if it surrounded me with these bars I could never break out of. No matter how hard I tried, I was doomed to crucify Christ by my very nature as a living creature. Could never understand this as a child. I mean, I knew I wasn't perfect. I fought with my brother. I wasn't always the perfect, obedient child to my parents. But, you know, and occasionally I wouldn't get my homework done. But I never would purposefully hurt anybody, especially Jesus. Then he will say to those at his left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire. I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they will answer, "Lord, when was that?" And he will tell them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to the least of these, you did not do it to me." So my 9-year-old, 8-year-old, whatever self was very much like those at the king's left hand. Those folks who just can't remember ever seeing their Lord in need and confused when he tells them that they failed to care for him at their lowest, at his lowest moment. And I totally understand their confusion. They're saying, like, "Lord, we would never do that to you. If we saw you naked or hungry or sick or in prison, of course we would take care of you." Now, they might not always attend to the needs of those around them. They might fight with their brother. They might disobey their parents. But they would never ignore the needs of their Lord. They might sin against their neighbor, but they would never dream of sinning against God. They hadn't yet realized that God is not found elsewhere, but here in our neighborhood and in our neighbors. And that was the Good Friday lesson that I could never quite grasp as a kid. At the time, I could not see the connection between what I did to my pesky, annoying little brother and what I did to Jesus. It seemed so extreme to compare our little nitpicky fights, or like the day I didn't get my homework done, with something so monumental as nailing Jesus to the cross. I did not understand then that it is not about the degree or the severity of our sin. It's about the fact that nothing we do to others is separate from God, is not disconnected from God. All human beings are created in God's image, and God is in every person. This parable is an apocalyptic parable. These parables that we get this time of year in the church calendar, it's an apocalyptic parable about judgment, a division between sheep and goats, those who find favor with God and those who don't. And what stands out as unique is the shared ignorance in this parable of the sheep and the goats. They're both surprised at their fate and were not aware that they had either neglected or responded to the least of these. Most apocalyptic visions reveal something, some sort of truth, right? Apocalypse means to uncover or to reveal. And this uncovering confounds both the sheep and the goat. Even though they both ask the same confused question, the meaning of their question is very different. The sheep, those at God's right hand, possess a holy ignorance about their good deeds to those on the margins. But the goats, those at the left hand of the Son of Man, seek an excuse. They almost put the blame on the Son of Man himself, as if to say, well, you didn't reveal yourself to us. How could we see you? As if to say, it's not our fault we didn't see you in the faces of the sick and the imprisoned and the hungry. You didn't make it obvious. This is on you, Jesus. This parable hangs in front of us when we visit a loved one in the hospital, when we walk by a homeless person on the street, when we get a call from a friend who just needs something yet again, and we just think, do I really have the time for one more phone call with you that's going to last 3 more hours? Chances are you've been through one of those things recently or something similar. We're not sheep all the time, and we're not goats all the time. Both the sheep and the goats are surprised by what is announced to them for different reasons. The sheep are surprised because they're so compelled by the needs of their neighbors. They're not waiting around to see who's watching, whether they're serving big names or, you know, someone who matters, or whether their names are going to be put on a plaque for what they do. And all of us can be like that. The goats are surprised because they're waiting for their service to count. They want their good deeds to be noticed somehow, somewhere. They're tired of thankless labor. Who can't relate to that? And I don't think the moral of this parable is about figuring out which of these two we are, because we are both at one time or another. But I think this parable is meant to accompany us, to go with us each and every day, and accompany us with this question: where do you find God? And what do you do about it? This is the last Sunday of our liturgical year. Next Sunday, we begin the season of Advent. And the end of the church year always brings us these tales of apocalypse. And apocalypse in the most literal sense, because they are uncovering our own nature, in addition to a truth about God. And they foreshadow God being revealed to humankind in the incarnation, in the person of Jesus. That is what makes our faith so unique, is that we don't believe in a God who is far off, but a God who is revealed in the faces and likenesses of those around us. But in this parable, apocalypse is paired with justice. God is revealed to us not in high and lofty form, but in our neighbor in need, in the naked and the hungry and the imprisoned and the sick. And the consequences and the responsibilities that we incur because of that are truly apocalyptic. They uncover who we are and how we care for God's creation. And so, my friends, as you walk forth from this place today and go throughout your week, may these questions accompany you. Where do you find God? And what do you do about it? Amen.